this morning and to worship the King. I have had on my mind man's free will. It was a question posed to me earlier on in the week, and it's dominated my thoughts. And today, I'd like to speak to you about that from what the Scriptures say, not what I think. It is my purpose every time, I pray that it is, when I come to this place to address God's people, it's not to have a rally for what I think is right in my own mind. My quest and cause ought to be, as a minister of the gospel, to preach the truth of God's Word, whether it's something I believe or not. Amen? Amen? Are we seeking truth, or are we seeking to rally around what we think? The truth of God's Word is what we're looking for. I'm glad that we believe what the Word says, but we ought not to try to make the Word say what to agree with what we think. Amen. Our thinking has to be in agreement with the Word. Not the other way around. Alright? Now, that's a disclaimer put on the Word and on us. Now, I want us to remember some basic things about us, about humans. And we're going to start, and I'm going to make this, this is a long, long sermon. I don't know how long it'll be today, but it's a big subject. I'm not going to keep it for 3 or 4 hours. I could, but I won't. I know, a collective sigh of relief. I know. I want us to remember some things about ourselves, and this is maybe elementary for you, and if it is, wake up when I get to the hard stuff. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And that formed man was dead until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Right? He was the only man that was dead before he had life. Naturally. Naturally. God created that man good and very good. All of God's creation, by God's estimation, out of God's own mouth, He said it was good and very good. That included man. And then God put that man into the Garden of Eden and gave him dominion over all the animals and all of his creation. He wasn't... He had a task to name all the animals, and he did that. But there was not a mate or a help suitable or fit for him. So God caused a deep sleep to come upon him and took a rib from his side, and he created Eve. He created her from something he'd already created. Adam. Now, God placed Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them a task, and their task was to dress it and to keep it. To keep it. To keep it. Y'all understand what I mean by keep it? If I give you something and you keep it, right? You hold it fast. You take care of it. Well, I think part of what God told him was to work in the garden. That was certainly so. But what else did God give Adam in that creation? God gave Adam some ability, didn't he? Some ability. What was the ability that God gave Adam? He said, Adam, you have the ability to eat of every tree of this garden, except one. Except one. And God said, you can eat of the tree of life if you want to. But you best not go up and eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do that, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam, in that naturally good state, God gave him the ability to make a choice, free will, on his own free will, to reach up and partake of the tree of life. Did man make that good choice, being naturally good? Did he make that choice of his own free will? He did not choose the tree of life. On his own free will, being a naturally good man, a sinless man, mind you. Got it? He was a sinless being, created uncorrupted, but corruptible. Let that sink in for a minute. Adam was created corruptible, but not corrupted. Got it? He was sinless, perfect, a very good man, a naturally good man. He was created naturally good. Y'all, this is important. It's simple, but it's important, or it seems simple to me. It's simple to me because it's exactly the way God described it. Very simply, in the Scriptures. I hope it's simple to you. God made that good man, that naturally good man, that sinless man, corruptible. And to that man, He gave the free will to reach up and the ability to reach up and take of the tree of life. Now, if he would have done that, he would have got on his own accord and by his own free will eternity. If he would have done that as a naturally good man, sinless. But he didn't, did he? In that naturally good state, he chose the wrong way, the bad way. Isn't it funny? I was talking with a chief of police the other day, And we were working out in the front of the gym. It's got a lot of all windows right there. And I saw a guy driving down the main street. Had his phone up here, just working up here. And I said, look at that. Look at that guy. I said, I've seen more people this week since they have passed the law that you can't even hold a phone while you're driving. I said, I've seen more people hold their phones up like this while they're driving than I ever did before. Why is that? He said, you tell people not to do something, and that's the very thing that they're going to do. But Adam was sinless. And in that sinless state, he chose to do that one thing that God told him not to do. Now, Adam had the free will to reach up and take of the tree of life, but he didn't in a naturally good state. Now, what happened in the day that he ate that fruit? What happened? He died. But he kept breathing, didn't he? He kept breathing. So he didn't die bodily. What did he die to? He died to his condition that he was in, the position that God created him in, and he died in fellowship to God. He died. And he started to die. I mean, his body started to die and wax old. Like a leaf and grass. It fades away and withered away. Now, it took him 900 something years to wither away. It don't take me that long. It don't take us that long. But he died that day. He died in fellowship to God. And he died in the estate that God created him in. And when Adam fell, he fell all the way. I mean, all the way. Now, if you don't understand that elementary stuff about what happened in the garden, you will not understand the rest of the Bible. You won't. You'll get it all mixed up. Because we first to understand the sovereignty of God, to first understand our condition as men, we must understand that Adam was our father and we possess his fallen characteristics. We must understand that. We must understand that babies are conceived in sin. I was, you were, every human being that's born on the face of this earth was conceived in sin except for one. Y'all know what his name was? Tell me. Say it out loud. Jesus was the only one that was conceived of the Holy Ghost, not conceived in sin. Y'all, this is simple, but it's powerful stuff. So, Adam couldn't keep the garden anymore. What else could Adam not keep? He didn't keep. He lost something in that garden. What did he lose? He lost the ability to reach up and grab hold of the tree of life. He no longer had the freedom of will to reach up and grab that fruit of the tree of life and become a spiritual being. Now he went from being naturally good to naturally bad. What were the effects of the fall besides that? Well, he was naked and afraid, right? The Bible says he was. They got a show now called Naked and Afraid. I don't watch it, but I imagine they weren't near as naked or afraid as Adam was. He tried to hide himself. What do you do when you sin? Do you want everybody to know it? Nope. You hide, don't you? The evidence is clear. We're not conceived good. We're not, and we don't do good, do we? Human beings started out sinners. We were conceived in sin. We no longer have the state that Adam was created in. We're conceived in sinners. We're conceived sinners. Nothing good can come out from an unclean thing. Two unclean things coming together don't make clean ones. Amen? All you parents, do you believe that? I believe it because they proved it. Bible says that babies come forth from the womb speaking lies. I'm just dumb enough to believe what God said about it. I don't care what man said about it. God said that babies are conceived in sin. He said they come forth from the womb speaking lies. How do they do that? Well, babies come forth, you know, and they'll be in their crib, and the mama will be out in the somewhere in another room or something, and they'll sit there and they'll cry, wah, wah. And then mom will think, well, something's wrong with them babies. And then they get that baby and they get in there and they look at mom and then they start smiling. They just lied. Lying babies. You know what they're doing? Is they're exhibiting their fallen nature. We start out doing it. Why? Because we're conceived. We're not just born in sin, folks. We're conceived in it. That is very important to understand. That we're not just born sinners. We are born sinners because we're conceived sinners. Very important word. Y'all remember it. We're going to get to it hopefully later, but I don't know if we will or not. Now, because I don't want to rush through this. Because this is important stuff. Now, man, after the fall, has free will to act in accordance with his nature. Yes? You agree with that? If I want to take this bottle and take the top off and pour that water on my head, I got that ability. See? I got that ability. It was dumb, but I did it. Right? Or I could drink it. Or I could pour it on the ground, which I'm not going to do. Again. Now, I have that capability. I'm capable of doing that. I've got the ability to eat a peanut butter sandwich or vegetable soup for lunch. Or I can have meatballs that we've already prepared for lunch for us. I can choose not to eat that and eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich if I want. That's all up to me. I have the free will to do that. I could take my boots off and coat and run naked through that cemetery back there. That'd be dumb, but I could do it. It's within the realms of my ability. I'm being serious about this. Some of the stuff you might think is funny, but I'm serious about this. I've got the ability to do those things. They are within my nature. And I'm telling you what, if you want to talk about nature, you go into some of the mental institutions in this country, and you'll see folks running naked through a cemetery. You'll see people doing showing forth the evidence of their depravity without restraint. Not only was Adam naked and afraid, he tried to hide himself from God. How many of y'all can hide from God? Not a one. Not a one. And you know what else he tried to do? He tried to cover up his nakedness. And his covering was insufficient, wasn't it? A fig leaf. Fig leaves together. It wasn't even a cloth. It was, that's a substantial leaf because it's fake. But you try to go get a real leaf and sew it together. What did he sew it together with? Must have been grapevines or pieces of grass that he wove in and out. How long is that going to last? It's not going to last at all because it's insufficient. And so, what did he need? He needed a sufficient covering, didn't he? Who did that? God did that, didn't he? God provided a sufficient covering for Adam in slaying an animal and made coats of skins that they were clothed with now. Sufficient to cover his nakedness. Adam wasn't just naked and afraid and tried to hide himself from God, did he? When God asked him, said, "What have you done?" What did he do? What did he do? Come on, folks. Interactive day. What did he do? He lied. He blamed. He started blaming who? Who did Adam blame?
The woman that
who gave me?
God.
He blamed Eve and he blamed God. How many people do you know today that will blame God for their sin? A lot of them. They'll either blame someone else for their sin, or they'll blame God for their sin, or they'll blame who else? Who did Eve blame? She said, "That devil, that old serpent. He beguiled me, and I did eat." She blamed the devil. How many people do you know blame the devil about stuff? All three instances, they all blamed the wrong person. Right? Who should they have blamed?
Themselves.
How many of y'all like blaming yourself? How many of y'all blame other people? I do. I blame other people sometimes. I'd like to think the closer to God I get, the less I do that. But I still do it. Don't you? What is that an evidence of? It's an evidence that you are a sinner. That's not the only thing that happened to Adam. Look at what happened. What happened after that? When they brought forth and multiplied, what happened? What happened? They had a boy named Cain. They had another boy named Abel. What did Cain do to Abel? He murdered his brother because he was jealous. Not only are we naked and afraid and we lie and we blame God, we're jealous. We get jealous and we murder, don't we? Jesus had a lot to say about that, didn't he? Boy, will you talk about it did not take long for the effects of the fall to rear their ugly head. did it. So Cain was procreated. So was Seth. Procreated. That means that man and a woman came together and conceived a little sinner named Cain. Then they came together and conceived another little sinner named Seth. The first sinner killed the second sinner, and that murderer kept on procreating more and more and more. That don't sound good, does it? That don't sound good at all. You know why? Because it's not. And them sinners kept on sinning. And they sinned so much, God repented that He had put man on the earth. And He said, the heart of man is only evil continually. He said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to wipe it out. And He did. Didn't He? How did He wipe it out? The flood. But Noah found grace. What did he find?
Grace.
In the eyes of the Lord. Him, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight folks. Eight people. There's more than eight in here this morning. Thank the Lord. Which eight are we going to pick? Because all the other ones are going to drown. What? How would you pick them? How would you pick them? That ain't how God picked them. God picked them. I tell you, God picked, He picked the ones He wanted to pick, didn't He? Now, we're in a bad shape, ain't we? I mean, we're in a bad shape. We can only act consistent with our nature. I can, like I showed you, I can pour the water on my head, or I can drink it, or I pour it on the floor, I can run naked out there, and I can do whatever I want to within the confines or parameters or limits of my nature. I do not have, listen carefully, I do not have the ability to sprout wings and fly like a bird no matter how bad I want to. It is not within the limits of my nature to do so. I do not have the ability to change my lungs so that I could breathe underwater and swim like a fish, even though I would pick that over flying. Because if y'all knew how much I love snorkeling and seeing beautiful stuff up under the water, y'all would understand. I love it. No matter how much I want to, I cannot sprout gills and breathe like a fish underwater. My will is limited, no matter how much I want to. My will is limited. I cannot go beyond what I'm capable of doing. What is a sinner capable of doing? Sinning. Is a sinner like that, and only a natural sinner capable of doing anything good? Let's see what the Bible says about it. Psalm 14:3 says they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Is there anyone that does good? Is there anyone that can do good? Romans, that's Psalm 14:3, by the way. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Is there one righteous? They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not for a few of them have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did y'all catch it? It's a test. How many have sinned?
All.
How many have fallen short of the glory of God? All. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? It's a question. Can they? Nope. Michael Jackson tried, but he couldn't change his DNA. He couldn't change his DNA. And it wasn't, he just altered his appearance a little. He didn't change his skin. That's a question. The answer is no. The leopard cannot go beyond his nature. Neither can the Ethiopian change his skin and go beyond his nature. I can't make one hair on my head white or black. What Jeremiah says after then, or God says after this, he says, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Mm-hmm. He says, if the Ethiopian can change his skin, if the leopard can change his spots, then you can do good that are accustomed to doing evil. Can a sinner do good? What has to happen for anyone to be righteous? What has to happen? Our nature has to change. Right? We have to have a new nature because with our free will, in our fallen nature, we have no ability to do the good. We have no, we can run naked through a cemetery, or we can pour water on our head, but we cannot go outside the bounds of our limitations. Outside the bounds of our nature. Right? So what must happen? We must have our nature changed. Are you going to want a new nature as a sinner? Are you? No. You're not going to choose the good way when you're a sinner, are you? Because you can't change your nature, can you? You're just like the Ethiopian and the leopard. You don't have the desire or the capability to change your nature. But your nature must change in order for you to have different choices. How does that come about? How do you get a new nature? If you have no ability, It's pretty simple. The Bible declares it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. You get a new nature because God gives it to you. The Bible calls it being born again. Born again. How does that happen? Well, the natural man don't get it. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says what? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. What does that mean? That means that the natural man don't want God, and he can't choose God. Why? Because his nature hasn't changed. He's a natural man. Natural man. Y'all get it? He's not able to choose God because he's not been born again by God. He doesn't have a new nature yet. How do you get a new nature? Jesus told Nicodemus, said, you can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. I think that would have been the perfect place, you know, if I was doing it, that Jesus, for a sinner to receive a new nature. I think it'd been a great place for Jesus to tell a sinner how to get born again. Don't you? I think it would have been a great place, since Jesus, the one that's God manifest in the flesh, I think if there was any place in the Scriptures that God would tell us sinners how to get born again, this would be the place. Jesus did tell us how that happens, but he didn't tell us what we could do to get it done. Why? Because we're passive in it. Did you choose your parents? Any of y'all choose your parents before you were conceived? Nope. Were you active or passive in your conception? Passive. You're passive in your conception. Jesus used the best analogy. You know, when Jesus uses a type, he always uses the right kind of type. Jesus, you know, he taught the people in simple ways, didn't he? He said, he used natural things to explain spiritual things all the time, didn't he? So when Jesus says that you got to be born again, he's using the process of birth to explain to Nicodemus how the second birth happens. He used the natural birth to explain it. Said, you got to be born again. Your first birth was not sufficient. Your natural birth is not sufficient to see the kingdom of God. And just as you had nothing to do with your conception naturally, neither do you have anything to do with your conception spiritually. Amen? Whether you amen it or not, that's what the Bible says about it. I'm being kind of tough today, ain't I? That's all right. This is the truth of God's Word. Your nature has to be changed. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3 and 6. 7 says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth." You know what listeth means? It means where it wants to. Huh. "And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Who are you born of? Born of your Spirit. My mother and father's name is William and Gladys Blair. I was born of them, naturally. I have been born of the Spirit, spiritually. Born of God, spiritually. And if you have the natural birth, you do have, obviously, because you're here, you have had the natural birth. And if you have had the spiritual birth, you know who your Father is. Amen? Because what do? When you get that spiritual birth, you cry out to Him, "Abba, Father," don't you? Now, our nature must be changed to be able to choose the good way. First Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now, I can see how someone would say, "I told you that the word of God is what we got born again by." Let me ask you a question. Has the preached word lived forever? Has it? Has the written word lived forever? Nope. It had a beginning. Even if people took rocks and etched in other rocks pictures, there was a start to that. This is talking about the essential word of God. That was with God in the beginning, and that was God. The word that made the worlds. This is talking about that word. Not talking about the preached word, it's talking about the living word, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Now, most of y'all understand, hopefully, that we're made alive and born of God for our spiritual birth. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't make a decision. We didn't pray. We didn't walk down and confess our sins. In order to achieve spiritual life or being born, we didn't do that. We didn't want to. While we were naturally, we had not the ability to exercise free will to do that, did we? Now, but after you are born again, what's happened to you? You have now a new what?
Nature.
How many natures do you have? Two. Just because you... How many of y'all lied this week? I probably did. I can't think of a specific time, but I may have. Probably did. Let me say it like that. I still have two. Just because you're born of the Spirit of God does not mean that you lose that old nature. The one that you were born with your mom, by your mama and daddy. Thelma and Henry, you got kids in here. Are they all sinners? Yeah, they are. They are. I'm sorry, Lydia. You're a sinner. And And your mom and daddy's were too. Mine were too. My children are. Them sweet little babies out there that I'm looking at right now, I love you, but you're sinners. And I want you to understand that. The only way that we can understand that we're sinners is if we have been born of God. Now, who does the operation in, or does the operating when we are born again? God does that. Who did the operation when you were conceived? God. I mean, your mom and daddy was. Right? They were the parties that had that going. God's the one that does it to make you spiritually alive. Now we have two natures and have the capability to exercise free will in both natures. I still have the ability as a child of God, I have the ability to pour water in my head and run naked through the cemetery. I still can do that. I ought not to, because I got a better way now, right? That'd be crazy and unbecoming of my new nature, wouldn't it? I expect unregenerate, wicked people to be to do unregenerate and wicked things. But you know what I expect for regenerated, born-again people to do? I expect them to act like they have the new nature. I expect them to act like they have the characteristics of the Father. I expect them to live that way. I expect them to exhibit those characteristics. You know, I look like my dad. I got big feet, big nose, big ears, and I'm pretty tall like he was. I exhibit those natural characteristics. All of Adam's kids, posterity, show characteristics of his fallen nature. But if we're born again, we now have a new daddy, don't we? What's his name? His name is God, our heavenly Father. And we ought to bear the image of Him. See, I didn't even talk about Adam being created in the image of God. You think about that. My mom and daddy created me in their image. God created me. He didn't create me. He did create me. Speaking of that, I'm a new creation. And my new birth might as well be creation, because I'm a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. Now, created in His image. Didn't lose the other image. I got two images. Which one do I want people, which image do I want people to see? Which one do you want people to see? You want to see God's. You want people to see God's image in you, don't you? I hope you do. If you don't, I'm worried about you. I mean, if you're a child of God and you don't want people to see God's image in you, you're not giving God the glory and you're still ashamed of God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of neither the gospel of Christ nor of God. We ought not to be ashamed of that image that God created us in, if indeed, in fact, you are a new creation. We now have the ability to demonstrate, since we're born of the Spirit. Y'all get this. Let's just say for a second that the Spirit is our daddy. Because, I mean, He is. We're conceived that way. What are the characteristics now of our... What are the new characteristics that we bear? What are they? That's it, Lydia. But fruit of the Spirit, this is in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. How many of y'all lose your temper? I mean, I do sometimes. Only two or three? Good night. Y'all must be better than most other folks walking around on the earth. Either that or you're ashamed to raise your hand. Temperance. That's a whole, each one of these is a whole sermon in itself. But you know, I think sometimes we read this because we know that this is a, what, sevenfold or ninefold fruit of the Spirit of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Nine. Nine things that you get in your spiritual birth. You get all those things. If you possess one, you possess all nine. Characteristics of your Father. When you exhibit these, you're exhibiting His image. When you show love, you're exhibiting the image of God. When you temper, when you want to do something, act on your natural nature, and you muzzle that and temper that, then you're exhibiting characteristics of God. Aren't you glad God's temperate? Aren't you glad God just don't react to what we do? Think about that. Talk about raining fire down on folks' head, and wouldn't none of us be alive, would it? Now, free will. What about the... Oh, hold on, I didn't finish. Against such there is no law. And they that are whose? Christ's. And they that are Christ's. Because those that aren't Christ aren't able to. But he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, that means if you've been have the new nature, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, we're not puppets. Y'all understand that? I'm not a puppet. You aren't either. God didn't make it just a bunch of puppets down here that He's puppeteering every little thing that they do. We have the free will to choose now, after being born again and being God's children, being born from above, we have the ability to choose the good way or the bad way. We can choose the old way or the new way. Paul says we can choose the old man or the new man. He says for us to put off the old man and put on the new man. Well, we have that ability now. We didn't before, but we do now to put it on. Not telling you, not don't have the free will to become a child of God or not, but after you are made a child of God, you have the ability to act like your Father. Amen? You've got the ability now to show the characteristics of your new Father. Free will to act accordingly. Whereas before, you did not have the free will to act outside of your nature. And we still don't. As a child of God, I'm still limited by my new nature. I'm not God. No matter how bad I might want to be God, I'm not God. I'm limited. I'm still limited in my new nature. But oh, It's not near as limited as that natural nature was. Because I have a Heavenly Father now that's able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever I could ask or think. I'm limited, but my Father is not. Come on! My Father is not limited in anything. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever I could ever even ask or even think to ask. How great is that? That means as God's child, Jesus even talked about this, talking about the people that are being evil. Listen to this, Matthew 7, this is a Sermon on the Mount. He's not talking to unregenerate people. He's talking about, I'll just let Jesus tell you. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to dead alien sinners? No. His people that he's his audience is people whose Father is in heaven. He's talking to born again people. He says, if you being evil, why? Because they still have the old nature. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Have you got a lot of good in your life? When's the last time you asked God to send His Spirit your way? When's the last time you asked for wisdom? When's the last time you just sat down and thanked God for all of His blessings? When's the last time you actually asked God to help you with a problem? I mean, not talking about just plain fixing everything up and so you didn't have to do anything, but giving you the tools you need to help you. When's the last time you did that? The older I get, the more I do it. Now, Jesus also talked about some folks that were evil in Matthew 12:34, you see. He says, O generation of children of God. Nope, I'm tricking you. I hope you know enough to know that ain't so. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers. What is a viper? It's a snake, ain't it? How can ye, being evil, speak good things? Who's his audience? A bunch of snakes? A bunch of folks that, from Jesus' estimation, were not the children of God. On the contrary, he says, you're of your father the devil in John. I'm not going to call them children of God if Jesus called them children of the devil. Right? Amen. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what that means? That means that you put a bucket down in a well, and you draw it up. If it's muddy water is going to come out. If it's purple water down there, purple water is going to come out. If it's sweet water is going to come out. If it's bitter is going to come out of your mouth. If your heart is bitter, your speech will be bitter. If your heart's full of love, your speech will be full of love. It's evident, isn't it? Jesus said it was. You ponder that. Because I'm telling you, folks, You got two natures. Whatever is presiding in your heart. If you're following after the good way, what's going to come out of your mouth? The good stuff. But if you're following after your natural man, what's going to come out? That open sepulcher smell. What comes out of there? Nothing but stink. If you follow after your natural man, nothing but stink is going to come out of your mouth. And I'm going to tell you what. If stink does come out of your mouth, you can be rest assured that you're following after your natural man. What did Paul say? Let your speech always be with grace. Right? Why? Because the children of God have what in their heart? They have grace in their heart. Why? Because it's characteristic of God. And we ought to speak that way. Amen? Amen. We ought to speak that way. With grace in our hearts. So this is a little problem. I'm going a little bit over today. I told you I was, probably. And I apologize. No, I don't. I'm not apologizing for preaching the Word of God to you. And maybe even going over a little bit. I'm almost done, though. I will say that. There are, what about the whosoever wills in Scripture? Because there's a lot of those, ain't there? I'm just going to read a few of them. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whoso will come after me, if anybody's going to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Who's that invitation to? It's to people that are born again. We've already established the fact that a natural man ain't going to follow Jesus. And a natural man's not going to deny himself because that is a spiritual characteristic. Luke 9:24. That was in Mark 8:34. Luke 9:24. For whosoever will save his life, that's a whosoever will, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, not mine, Jesus' sake, the same shall save it. Who's he talking to? Who's going to lose their life for Jesus? Who's going to give everything up for Jesus? Is a natural man going to do that? Is he going to lose what he's got? Nope. He can't even stand to give a beggar 5 cents. How in the world is he going to save his life if he won't even want to lose 5 cents? How is he going to lose his life to find it? He's not. Only the child of God is going to do that. Only the child of God is capable of doing that. Didn't say that he would. Said he's capable of doing it. So if you want to exercise your free will to do that, you do it. You have the ability as a child of God to do it. For it is God which worketh. Oh, I missed the biggest one. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is in Revelation 22:17. I love this one. This is where everybody goes. This is where everybody goes, talking about whosoever will. Talking about, you know, getting eternal life, just if you want it. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen to that. Who's the bride? It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that won't hear come. Oh, I messed you up again, didn't I? And let him that heareth come. Oh, I'm sorry. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. That means you're thirsty for it, right? The invitation is open for you to come and join the church if you're thirsty. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Ooh, the water of life. That's good, isn't it? It ain't the tree of life. It's the water of life, though. Let me ask you a question. We talked about this not long ago. What can a dead man do? Is a dead man thirsty? Nope. How much water can you pour on a dead man to get him to drink? You could pour a sea full of water on him and he wouldn't drink. Why? Because he's dead. He's dead in trespasses and in sins. Got to be made alive first to come, right? You ever seen a dead man get up and walk? I haven't. Lazarus got up and levitated out of there, but he was alive before that because Jesus made him alive, right? Amen. All right, now. For Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to what? Will. That's that free will, right? Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Whose good pleasure? Whose good pleasure? His good pleasure. Not mine. His good pleasure. So God puts it in us to not only to have the will to do it and the ability to do it, but to do it of His good pleasure. I never preach this long, Kelsey. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm not sorry. But for anyway.
It's a good sermon. Thank you.
Amen. Now, he says, God put the will to do it and the doing to do it in you. God did that. It's not my good pleasure anymore. That's what the natural man does. Amen? The natural man does his own pleasure. He's got the free will to work in his own pleasure. Now God put in us the will and to do of His good pleasure, not ours. To deny ourselves and to go His way. Amen? Amen. Now, there are some that will not come. I'm just going to say this. And John 5 and 40 says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Because God hadn't put the will to do in them. Both, if God hadn't put the will in them, they're the will nots. Right? They're the will nots. And there's the will nots are not necessarily always the same as the can nots. They're close. They're close. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 14, 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. How come they don't see him not? He already told you. Y'all, we got to quit being intellectually laden when it comes to Scriptures. We got to start thinking. We got to start reading. Why can't they see it? John already told you. Jesus told you in John. They can't see it because they're not what? Born again. They can't receive any of these things because they're not born again. Let's read it again. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's simple, ain't it? Really? This is simple stuff. But it touches, oh, so many things. Oh, so many things in the Scriptures. There's a difference between being a son or daughter of God. The Bible calls them son. And discipleship. Yes? Y'all know the difference? God makes sons. We make disciples. We're the one. It's like I got a son over there. Me and Sonya made him. He can choose to be a good son and honor our name, honor my name with his life, or he can choose to mar his name by the way that he acts. If he mars the name, is he still the product of me and Sonia? Yes, he is. Is his existence honoring to us? No, it's not. Same thing spiritually. If God makes us sons, if we're good sons, we'll bring honor upon his name. If we don't act, if we don't act like good sons and daughters and children of God, it doesn't give him the glory. Is he pleased when he don't get the glory? No, he's not. Are you still his son? Amen. God never disowns any one of them. Once you're a son, you always a son. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the desire to come and be a good son of God, may the Lord bless you is my prayer. You have the free will to do that if you're a born-again child of God.